And away we go, ladies and gentlemen, live from Southeastern Conference Media Days in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate, as the great one Lonzo has been so fond of correctly saying for a number of weeks now. Today is the day that college football gets underway. I didn't intend for it to rhyme, but I nailed it. Welcome in, people. Great to have you. Happy Monday. I can say for certain at 6:01 a.m. here live inside of the mecca of college football, the College Football Hall of Fame. Great one. I am officially so far the loudest one in this building, but I do see Peter Burns and the rest of the SEC Network walking around in the room behind me, so I'm sure that's not going to last very long. Let's start off by saying hello to the man behind the curtain back in the network studio. I'm in charge of every button, switch, lever, knob, gear, pulley, and ramp that needs to be worked to make this show work. The Great One Lonzo is in the building. What's up, big dog? How are you, Great One?
I am good. How many people nearly passed out when you first started speaking? That's the question.
Only one, and that is a young man out of Jackson, Mississippi, named Mr. Houston, standing over my right, who was kind enough to stand with me as we waited for the doors to open at roughly 5:40 for both of us to be ready to roll at 6 a.m. So I don't know that he was expecting this out of the gate. But we had a lovely conversation as he's up here covering the Ole Miss Running Rebels, the Fighting Joey Freshwaters in attendance today. And I know that they are going to come up. So far, right now, Great One, I am currently sitting upstairs at the College Football Hall of Fame. And first off, I want you to know, I was very close to texting you and being like, we're going to miss the first hour of the show today because I'm just going to walk around this place. This is my first time in this building, and I am going to tell you, I when they brought us in, so I'm sure you've seen the pictures of the helmet wall that is kind of the focal point when you come into the Hall of Fame. Have you seen the pictures of that before?
I have. It looks amazing.
So when they brought us in, they brought us in via a connector to the Omni Hotel, and they brought us in on the second story. So when I walked in, we actually walked down a hallway that is behind that. It's on the second story, so it quite literally I could reach out and almost touch the helmet wall to the right, but I didn't really like get to bask in its glory, right? So I wheeled all the stuff up here. I brought it out. I set it on the table. And I looked down at the clock. And it had only been 2 or 3 minutes since we opened the door. And I thought to myself, I have 18 minutes. And all I have to do is set up 2 laptops, a Comrex, a streaming camera, an audio board, a Wi-Fi setup. I have to plug into multiple audio jacks, make sure all the extenders are run, make sure our extension cord is plugged up, make sure our audio box is ready to roll, make sure that my soundboard is ready to go, and make sure I have the show prep pulled up. And I have 18 minutes. That feels like plenty of time to not do any of that, walk back down to the main lobby, and go take in the helmet wall. And I don't know how to say this without coming across like just an absolute sentimental wuss. Zo, when I saw that helmet wall from the front side for the first time, when I walked down into the main rotunda entrance of the College Football Hall of Fame, the goosebumps were no joke, man. I'm going to say this knowing that my wife is currently on the interstate out of town, and it's unlikely that she and the three ladies she's on a business trip with leaving this morning are listening right now, so I'm going to say it, and even if they are, I think she'll understand. Zo, when I turned down into the main rotunda and I saw that helmet wall and I saw all of the College Football Hall of Fame iconography around me, the only time that I can tell you that I have felt that feeling, there are like 4 or 5 of them in my lifetime. One of them was when I stood as a young teenager, a young man, on the edge of the Grand Canyon and looked back over millions of years of history as a big nerd. The second time I remember feeling that way was, again, as a teenager when I walked through the doors at the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, France. The third time I felt that way that I can recall off the top of my head was September 21st of last year when I stood at the edge of the aisle and I watched my minutes-away bride-to-be turn around, face, and begin walking down the aisle with her father to me. And then today, I add this day, the day I walked into the rotunda and saw the helmet wall in front of all of the Hall of Fame iconography. Now, since I don't have the stream up and running, and it is coming, all right? Basically, I had about legitimately 14 minutes to get the entire setup ready to go on the air. So we will have a stream. It's going to take me a few minutes to get set up. It's going to take me a few minutes to get rocking and rolling on the stream. So if you are looking for the stream, stay tuned. Hold tight. I promise it's on the way. Give me just a few minutes. But let me tell you, until I can get that stream up and running, where I currently sit. Great one. I am upstairs on floor two. And behind and below me, they have a big open media room. And ordinarily, I feel like ordinarily it's like a big exhibit hall, but they've kind of got all the exhibits around the outside taped off, and it is going to be the press conference hall. So literally, right behind me and about, I don't know, 30 feet down below me and behind me is the podium. And if you tune in at any point today to watch SEC Media Days, you will see Greg Sankey and Shane Beamer and the rest of whoever is speaking today at that podium. I could hit a putt from this distance. That's where I am. Now I am upstairs, and great one. It is as fortuitous as I could imagine, because sitting in front of me, there are four exhibits that I am within touching distance to. One of them directly in front of me is a tribute to HBCUs in college football, historically black colleges and universities. I'm looking right in front of me at a full band marching getup from the Florida A&M University Rattlers. I am looking at recognition of the HBCUs throughout college football history. To my left, and it's not up and running yet, but I'm very excited about, is the Regions Bank Greatest Moments Theater. It is a huge big screen TV with bleachers in front of it. And once this thing gets up and kicking, it is going to have a loop on the TV of just the greatest moments throughout college football. I'm going to keep it a buck. When the show's over later on today and we're done and I'm sitting here because we got a little bit of a break. We got a couple of schools and then about an hour break, then a couple of schools, about an hour of break. I'm just going to sit at this table and I'm just going to watch that movie on loop. I don't know how long it is. I don't know what's on it. I don't care. I can't wait. Over to my right, it is exhibit number three. It is a College Football Hall of Fame tribute to the service academies and their football programs. There is a really cool exhibit. I'll post a picture here in just a minute on our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, at TheFanUpstate. Follow us there. Make sure you're following me at The Rob Brown Show. There is a very cool exhibit, great one, that has it has mannequins of the four service academies: the United States Air Force Academy, the United States Military Academy, the United States Naval Academy, and the United States Coast Guard Academy. And on these mannequins, half of them is their football jersey, and half of them is their service academy uniform. And behind them is a wall of all of the military academies throughout school, including, I am looking right at it, a uni and a helmet from the Citadel. So shout out for that representation. And then, great one, I feel like they know me. I feel like they know us, because over to my left is the exhibit that I am sure that I am going to spend the most time in, and I'm relatively sure, Lonzo, if you were here, you would be doing the same, because over to my left is an exhibit of college football video game history, including multiple setups with every era of Xbox set up to play every era of the college football video game, dating back to the OGs back at the turn of the millennia.
Wow, you're that close to that.
Uh-huh. I am feet away from it, and I'm I got to tell you, I'm kind of in this struggle moment right now because there is so much to do. There is so much to see just in this building. And yes, I have 4 days. Yes, I have time. Yes, I will be partaking in all of it. But today I have to pretend to be a professional. And pretending to be a professional today, great one, of all of the undertakings throughout my 17, coming up on 18 years when football season strikes in this industry, I don't know that taming my ADHD-riddled brain will ever be as difficult as it's going to be for the next 4 days to not just devolve exclusively and entirely into a college football nerd, because I am at Mecca right now. This place is unbelievable, and it's only going to get better as the day progresses. Man, Zoe, I've never been here before. This is the first time, obviously, in this building. And I can tell you that every person I've talked to, every person who said, Rob Brown, you're going to love it, you're going to lose your mind, every one of them was spot on correct, because I have been in this building now for less than 40 minutes. And I don't know how I'm going to stay focused enough to be able to do this show consistently.
Well, don't worry about that. I'll keep you focused. And as far as you being concerned about devolving into what you are, don't worry about that. Here's the thing. You are our eyes and ears. We can't see it ourselves. We will be able to see it here in a moment, by the way.
Yes, you will.
And it looks pretty sweet. The first thing you said was the helmets. What's the first helmet that drew your eye when you walked in?
When we walked in behind the helmets, I could only see like four rows of them, because there's like slats behind them, right? That protect, because it is the walkway that goes behind the helmets is an employees only walkway, right? So like it's a special access VIP kind of deal, you know, like not everybody gets to walk the behind the scenes air. So I really only got to see like a couple of rows via slats. But when I turned the corner, actually the first place I saw it was from an upper level viewing balcony that looks, so you're kind of like eye level with the helmets. And hilariously, and I don't know why, the first one that drew my eye, and I don't know if this is more about me and like I need to like schedule an appointment with my therapist for this, or if it's just because they have one of the worst helmets in football, the first one that caught my eye were the Mighty Gators of Florida. That's how I tell you, I just jumped out. They're bright orange. They got that blue cursive script that looks like it was written by a second grade teacher handing out gold stars or something. For some reason, the Mighty Gators of Florida were the first helmet that drew my eye.
Well, I mean, it is home for you. I mean, you're home where you grew up, so of course.
That's my reaction.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. I gotta go. I mean, the more you talk about it, I gotta go. Gonna have to plan a trip at some point to go over there and just spend some time and see what it's like. I can't wait for everyone to see the setup of what you've got going on, because you adjusted your camera, but before that, it said right guard up in the corner.
Yes.
And I was digging that. I thought that was great.
So behind me on and again, I'm sorry that I'm trying to like explain all of this to you. Here's what I promise that I will do. If you guys at some point, I would say, and I got to look at the schedule for today. I have it over here. I'm going to do that in a few minutes. I do know that we have a morning session with Greg Sankey, and then we'll get to the meat and potatoes for the rest of the day. Once I make sure that I have the schedule down, because one of the things we get to do, we're going to be carrying and recording audio from all of the press conferences, which the stage, great one. If I get my fat butt out of the way, you can probably see it. The stage is right down here behind me. And so
it's shrouded in blue light.
It looks
pretty sweet.
It does. So up here above me, they have the backdrop of what we'll be seeing. It's kind of blurred out on the SEC Network when they go live on SEC this morning here in just a little while. But what I can tell you is that we have a break sometime later on this morning of about an hour while the first couple of schools get up out the way and the next couple of schools start to get ready to do their, you know, state of the school, state of the conference, all that good stuff. And once we get to a point where we've got a little bit of a break in the festivities later on, I will go live again on our social media, and I will do so from our Facebook, Instagram, yada, yada, yada. I'll go live on as many platforms as I can go live from. So when I do that, I will give you kind of a nuts and bolts tour of a little bit of the College Football Hall of Fame. I don't want to share the whole thing. I want to leave a little intrigue, a little mystery, a little tall, dark, and handsome for those of you who want to visit but have not yet gotten the chance to. But I will take you through and behind the scenes in some of the bigger moments, some of the stuff you've probably already seen on the internet and whatnot. So make sure you're following us across social media because it is going to be a very busy day. I'll be popping in and out throughout the day as I get stuff kind of, again, scheduled, figure out who's speaking, when, where, what, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be busy. I will kind of take you behind the scenes. I posted some stuff already yesterday. I will do some more later on today. We'll go live a couple of times throughout the day when I get an opportunity downstairs. I will tell you in advance, we are not prohibited we are not prohibited to stream live from the press conferences downstairs. Those are exclusive to the SEC on video, but we will be pull some of the audio as the show goes on today. We will pull some of the audio from the press conferences live as we get them. We will obviously be recording and grabbing sound and all that playing throughout the day, and waiting on confirmation on a couple of different interviews that we are going to hopefully be putting down today. Here is what I do know. What I do know right now is that from South Carolina today, we will be visiting at 1:20 p.m. with DQ Smith, and at 1:45 today with Nick Barrett from the South Carolina Gamecock football team. We are waiting to see, because again, there are no promises. This is obviously going to be chaos, start to finish, top to bottom, left to right, all day long. Waiting to see if we are going to get something on the books with Shane Beamer, Lenora Sellers, or if that is going to be something that we have to do remote off to a distance. So I'm not sure, because again, a lot of this is tentative. A lot of this is kind of being made up as we go. For some reason, I'm not entirely sure why. Nobody's explained it to me yet. Apparently Paul Feinbaum gets priority over me. I don't understand it.
Wow.
I don't get it. I know. I'm a little hurt by that. All right. I sent a text to the SEC earlier and I said, wait a minute, I just want to make sure you're telling me that Paul Feinbaum gets priority interviews over me. I don't know how I feel about that. But we'll see if anything comes of it. Those are the two that we for sure have confirmed are DQ Smith at 1:20, Nick Barrett at 1:45. We'll play those back for you tomorrow. And then again, I'll be pulling audio from the Shane Beamer press conference today, the Lenora Sellers Q&A period, etc. We'll run some of that back for you tomorrow. It is going to be a busy day. So we're talking a lot of football. We're talking preseason projections, prognostications, and predictions. We're going to be talking about every team in the Southeastern Conference, and we will dial in on each of them as their day comes up. You guys, welcome to be a part of the show. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. I do have the text line pulled up today. 844-326-3663. Shoot your text. You can call in. Those of you looking for the stream, I am working on it. I didn't get in until about 15 minutes before the show. I'll have that set up for you in a little while. We're booking. Let's do it. Live from the College Football Hall of Fame and SEC Media Days. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate. Live from Southeastern Conference Media Days here in the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the happiest of Mondays to you. And as Lonzo has appropriately and accurately said many, many times, happy, we're making it official. It's the first day of football season, baby. It's here. It's underway. We're rocking and rolling 4 hours for 4 days here at the CFB HOF, and I very much look forward to it. Let me tell you a little bit about what is going on today and over the next few days. We have got, obviously, a number of events. We are going to be doing stuff with players and coaches all week long as the event takes place now through Thursday. We do have coming up today at 9 a.m., and I am working on, not promising, working on being able to carry at least portions of the 9 a.m. State of the Conference address of one Greg Sankey. Then after that is over, between 9 o'clock and 1:10 p.m., we have got Greg Sankey. Then we've got Brian Kelly, his family, and the LSU Tigers rolling through.
Hey, be careful. His reps might be there, and you may not get a shot of talking to him if you be overly...
I don't know what you want me to say. I can't not, right? It's like, it's kind of one of those things where it's an itch. I just got to scratch it. I don't know if it's like obsessive compulsive. I don't know if it's appropriate. And also, I haven't seen any LSU people here setting up yet because they were turned loose in Atlanta last night, though, so they probably a couple of bourbons deep. You know what I'm saying? They got their farmer friend on this morning. I'm gonna cover up the mouthpiece when I say this part. I'll be like Andy Reid with the big Waffle House menu while I make fun of the LSU Tigers because they're not in here yet. I don't think.
Yeah,
because I don't see
it. Yeah,
so
I'm
right
sure
now.
That you were so quiet that no one could hear you.
LSU and South Carolina are our first two schools. Again, Greg Sankey will give his state. Oh, the conference address around 9 o'clock. I am working to be able to check in and carry at least bits and pieces of that press conference live. We may be able to do that, respond to some of the things Greg Sankey has to say in real time. And then, of course, this afternoon, I will slice and dice and pull together some of the most important clips, the newsworthy clips, as Greg Sankey talks, followed by LSU and then South Carolina. That's the morning session. There will be a break between 11:30 and 2 o'clock. That is when I will likely go live, give you a little mini tour of the College Football Hall of Fame, let you see the setup, let you see some of the exhibits that are here. Again, some very cool one. I sent Lonzo a picture during the break of the College Football Video Game Hall of Fame that is right across from me. Great one.
Yeah, now I got to go. That is so sweet. It absolutely
good chance.
Is.
Good chance. I'm going to have my big behind planted in one of those leather recliners playing about 2 hours. And here's the best part.
There's going to be a line behind you of people wanting to play. And you're just be like,
here's my thought. By the time we get to the lunch break, and it's like 11:30 to 2, so we got like a 2.5 hour lunch break. By the time we get to the lunch break, with the number of media that are here, and I will tell you that it extends probably, this hallway that I'm in, extends probably 60 yards in both directions. Great one. Then there's a hallway on both ends of this rectangle that are about 30 to 40 yards, and then there's another 60 yards of hallway on the other side, and the media are wrapped all the way around it, and that's just people who are doing radio and television shows that have that whole area set up. So I'm going to assume there are probably going to be in the neighborhood of 200 to 300 media members here, once you include the writers and the anchors, the reporters, the radio show hosts, the podcasters, the bloggers, yada, yada, yada. There's probably going to be 200, 300 people in this building. I got to suspect that little video game exhibit, great one, is going to be the source of a lot of bleep talking over the next 4 days. You know what I mean? Because I know our buddy Abe Gordon from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, who is a friend of mine both off the air and off, worked with Abe back in Destin back in the day. He is now broadcasting here in the ATL. His station's down at that end. And when we got in here, he and I were kind of surveying the landscape. We walked right past that exhibit, and we both kind of looked at it. And I think we both kind of looked at each other, and I think we both had that kind of moment of like, it's happening. right? Like you, me, NCAA, 2K26. This is happening today.
What team are you picking?
I don't know yet.
Are you guys going to do this thing? You can go random, right?
You can go random, but there's also the thought of, all right, like, do we go old school SEC matchup? He covers the Georgia Bulldogs. I cover the Gamecocks of South Carolina. Do I make myself just a wee bit of an underdog but lead Shane Beamer's boys into battle? Or
yeah, that's not why you know who the best player in the game is. So
hey, okay. He might be listening.
All right.
Are you kidding me? Michael Vick, Madden 04? Yeah. I might Lenoris Sellers him over the Bulldogs in a little a little college football 2026. All right, don't tell him that, though. He's going to be hot, confident, ready to roll as Kirby and the Dogs, and he's not going to see Lenoris coming for him. We'll see how that goes. After the lunch period ends about 2 o'clock, the next two schools on the docket will be the Running Rebels of Ole Miss, followed by Clark Lee and the Vanderbilt Commodores. They will have their 4-ish hours this afternoon. That will be the end of that. I will check in at some point during that back half. I'll check in with Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel on their stream this evening. And this is really interesting. I did not know this, but I caught a little invite, Lonzo, to a VIP gathering this evening.
Look at you.
And no, it is not at Magic City. Although, Wednesday night, I am going to get the lemon pepper Lou Wings. That is confirmed. That's on the docket. That's on the schedule. Getting some magic. It's finally happened. Great one. It's been 5 long years since Lou Williams broke the COVID bubble and said it was all for some strip club buffalo wings. It's happening Wednesday. Book it, confirmed. Now, the VIP special access limited invitation event that your boy caught the invite to. This evening, from 6:30 till 9:30, there is a reception for media members here that are covering this event right here at the College Football Hall of Fame, right on down in the rotunda. And then, obviously, tonight is the night we're going to get access to the College Football Hall of Fame. But there is a theater here. There is a College Football Hall of Fame theater, and they are going to be showing tonight episode number 1. Of the new SEC football Netflix documentary series. And the first episode of the SEC, which is the only one that they are releasing, scratch that, not releasing, the only one that they are screening tonight, great one, is about the South Carolina Gamecocks and the LSU Tigers, blah, 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 put them to the side. The new Netflix SEC football documentary about the South Carolina Gamecocks, there will be a special screening of that episode tonight at 7 p.m. My plan as of right now is to be in there for that and to bring you guys a review of it as soon as it is over. So, again, make sure you're following me on social media at The Rob Brown Show. Make sure you're following the station at The Fan Upstate, because we're going to be bringing you special stuff like that all week long. For the rest of the week, I won't spend a ton of time with all of the minutia, but tomorrow, actually one of the more interesting keynotes that I'm ready to hear. At 8:30 a.m. tomorrow, John McDade is the SEC's coordinator of football officials. You know me. You know I want to talk to some referees. I got questions. All right, I got questions. 8:30 to 9 a.m. tomorrow in the early portion of the day, the SEC, the South's oldest rivalry, Auburn and Georgia, are the morning session. Tennessee and Texas will be the afternoon session tomorrow. On Wednesday, it will be Alabama and Mississippi State that open us up. Florida and Oklahoma are the afternoon session. And then on Thursday, Kentucky and Mizzou are your openers. Arkansas and Texas A&M will close out Thursday. So that is the schedule of schools for the rest of the day. For those of you that plan on sticking with us following all 4 days, if you've got one particular SEC school, that's the days that they will be rolling up. And the portion of the days that the fellas, the coaches, the players, etc., will be pulling up. When we come back here in just a minute, I need your help. I need your help. Because one of the things that I will be asked to do when we were here is to vote for the predicted order of finish for the Southeastern Conference. And I need to ask you all a question because I've got the favorites, but I got a couple of underdogs, a couple of sneaky underdogs I'm interested in potentially giving some credit to. So when we come back, I want your thoughts. I want your opinions. Let's go ahead and get the big one out of the way. Is there a threat to Texas, who are favored to win this conference? Is Georgia a true underdog this year? We're going to talk a lot of SEC football because we are live at SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia, a special edition of the Rob Brown Show presented by our friends at Ingles. This is the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. It is a special edition of the Rob Brown Show live from the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia for SEC Media Days 2025. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo back in the network studio. We will be here all 4 days and a busy 4 days. It is going to be today, obviously, the day that I suspect many, if not most of you, are the most interested in, as today is the day that not only will Southeastern Conference Commissioner Greg Sankey make his appearance and give us a full state of the conference breakdown, but shortly after him, one of the first two schools to open up this event will, of course, be your Mighty Gamecocks of South Carolina. Shane Beamer will be here along with quarterback Lenora Sellers. We are working on getting interviews on the books. I will let you know that the hustle here, the grind is here, but nothing is guaranteed. I have been in contact with South Carolina. We have gotten two interviews that are on the books and confirmed right now. DQ Smith, we will speak to at 1:20 p.m. Nick Barrett at 1:45, and we are hoping to add Shane Beamer and Lenora Sellers to that list, though obviously one of last year's hottest coaches, Shane Beamer, a lot of folks saying that he should have been maybe not just SEC, maybe national coach of the year last year, very much in demand. And Lenora Sellers, one of the players expected to be a Heisman Trophy favorite this year. He is one of the top seven shortest odds to win the Heisman this year. Another player very much in demand. So we are efforting, we are working. We will let you know what we know when we know it for you guys to be able to follow us across all the social media at the Fan Upstate as we give you everything we can get you over the next 4 days. Now, that being said, coming up a little bit later on this morning, Rob Brown is going to be getting an email, and in that email, there will be a link. That link will be utilized to jump into a portal where I will be one of the media members voting on the projected and predicted order of finish for the 2025 Southeastern Conference. Texas is the favorite. Nationally speaking, Texas is the favorite. Nationally speaking, they have the shortest odds in the conference to make the playoffs. They have the shortest odds in the conference to win the Southeastern Conference. They have the shortest odds in the conference to make it to and to win the 2025 College Football Playoff National Championship. We're going to talk to Abe Gordon of 92.9 The Game here in Atlanta a little later on in the week about this, but I did have him on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday, and I asked him the question then, and I will ask the question of you now. Texas is the prohibitive odds-on favorite to win this conference. Is Georgia worth a looky-loo? Is Alabama worth a looky-loo? Or is there another pop-up surprise conference contender out there? I have been, over the past couple of days, as I was getting ready for this event, and knowing that I was going to have the opportunity to put a vote out there for who I believe will win this conference and put a vote for the projected order of finish, I wanted to go through and effectively give what I thought were the best and worst case scenarios for every team in the Southeastern Conference and then utilize that to see if I could talk myself into picking anybody but Texas. And here are the teams that I came up with as a list of possible, not definite, but possible conference champions. And I want you guys, whether it is on our text line at 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE, the Hub City Spartanburger text line, or if you want to use that phone number and call in, 844-326-3663, I would like you to give me your thoughts. Where do I have it right? Where do I have it wrong? Who do I have too high? Who do I have too low as a possibility? Here's what I've got as far as the SEC's best and worst case scenario for every school. I want to start, and I'm just going to go down them alphabetically because that's how I sorted them in the Google document that I did this in. I'm going to start with the Alabama Crimson Tide. They open up as plus 480 on the betting line to win the Southeastern Conference title. The worst case scenario for me for the Alabama Crimson Tide is an 8-4 season. An 8-4 season obviously is going to open up a lot of discussion and debate about Kalen DeBoer. Now, times has Lonzo said nobody wants to be the dude that follows the dude. And I think that that is an accurate philosophy. I'm going to go one step further. Nobody who wants to be the dude who follows the dude who is the GOAT. It is one thing to step into the shoes of a Hall of Famer. It is one thing to step into the shoes of a multi-time national champion. It is one thing to step into the shoes of somebody who has gotten a ring. Forget seven. It is one thing to step into the shoes of an old-timer. There are very few in the world of athletics that I think reach the definitive GOAT label. Really. I mean, I want you to think. I think Wayne Gretzky in hockey has reached definitive GOAT. I do not think that you are going to find many, if any, people who are going to make the argument that Wayne Gretzky isn't the GOAT. We were celebrating a couple of weeks ago when we saw Alexander Ovechkin pass Wayne Gretzky in the all-time scoring title. Now, keep in mind, in hockey, you get a point for an assist, you get a point for a goal. So your combined goals and assists is your NHL point total. And that is when I pointed out over and over and over again that as much as it is something to celebrate that Alexander Ovechkin is your all-time goals scorer in the NHL, I also pointed out that if you removed every goal that Wayne Gretzky scored in his career, just on assist alone, he would still be the NHL's all-time points leader. That's GOAT caliber. That's GOAT level. There is one other guy in sports that I can think of that's reached that, and it's Nick Saban at the University of Alabama. Is there anybody else? I can come up with a bunch of Heisman Trophy winners in college football that I would say, maybe it's that guy, maybe it's that guy, maybe it's that guy. I can come up with a ton of NFLers that I say, maybe it's that guy, maybe it's that guy, maybe it's that guy. I'm even willing to say, I think it's Tom Brady in the NFL. But I know there's a lot of y'all that would have the discussion, and it is a discussion that I am willing to have. So I don't even think that Tom Brady's excellence in the NFL reaches the excellence of Nick Saban as a head coach, and Kalen DeBoer has to follow that. So there's pressure. There's obviously pressure. We know that there is pressure. And if this team ends up going 8-4, there's going to be a conversation. Think about this. They've got Florida State out of the gate. Now, that feels like on its surface, coming off a 2-10 season, Florida State should be an easy win. This game is in Tallahassee, Florida, and I will tell you that as somebody who knows a lot of people down in the Sunshine State, the Noles believe they got something special. The Noles, but not 11-1 win the conference special, but like 8-4 bounce back, okay, maybe the Noles ain't so bad special. Could they steal a dub over a Crimson Tide with a new quarterback? Hey, quick question for those of you that are diehard SEC fans. What's the name of Alabama's quarterback coming into this year? Because I got to tell you, for the first time in a very long time, most people don't know. There's something there. I'm interested. The best, I think, that the University of Alabama could do this year is likely a 12-0 undefeated season. Now, they do have Florida State. They do have Wisconsin. They do have Georgia. They have six matchups this year. Half of their regular season is against teams that will begin the season inside of the top 25. And I still think the floor is an eight-win season. But I think the ceiling is an undefeated 12-0 run. I think that is in the cards. I think it's unlikely, but I think it is a possibility. Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma, Auburn. That's the schedule. Is it possible for the Crimson Tide to run 6-0 through that? You do have, as we mentioned, Florida State. Again, I'm going to keep it a buck. Florida State, FCS game, Wisconsin. That's the list for Alabama out of the gate. If Alabama drops one of those three games against Florida State, one of those two games, respectfully, Florida State or Wisconsin. And by the way, that Wisconsin game is interesting because, as Lonzo and I have talked about a number of times, Wisconsin's one of those like sneaky teams. It's been a long time since they were in the national championship hunt, but that is a day. It is in Tuscaloosa. That's a daytime game. That's a noon game. Those are the games that Alabama has got to be very careful about. That is a noon game. The Florida State game, by the way, in Tallahassee at 3:30. But if they are able to start the season, Florida State, UL Monroe, Wisconsin, then the meat and potatoes. They're at Georgia. Is that a win? I don't think so. I'm not saying it's impossible for it to be. A lot of questions from a lot of people about Kirby Smart. You got Vanderbilt. Again, last year Vanderbilt knocked off the Alabama Crimson Tide. Can they do it 2 years in a row this time in Tuscaloosa? Probably not. But you know how much that win meant to the Doors last year, and you know that they are going to bring it for that game. After Vanderbilt, they are at Mizzou. That's another noon game. That place is going to be rocking, or at least as much as the other Columbia can be rocking. But Mizzou the last couple of years kind of started to feel the vibes a little bit. And I would go one step further and say, there are very few coaches. I believe that there are two coaches on the hot seat entering the Southeastern Conference this season. I believe that the two coaches are Hugh Freeze at the University of Auburn, and I believe that Sam Pittman in Arkansas. We're going to find out about that. In fact, just a couple of tables down are some fellows from 103.7 The Buzz in Central Arkansas, and I'm going to go find out how they feel about the guy. But I think there's two coaches on the hot seat. I think more could be added down the line, and I think Eli Drinkwitz at Mizzou is one of them. This is a big game for Missouri because that's one of those games that keeps him safe. You better believe they're going to be ready to rock and roll. Then it is back home for the second Saturday against the University of Tennessee. Fortunately for them, that's in Tuscaloosa because I do think the Volunteers are going to be pretty, maybe not great, but pretty good this year. Then there is one of those games. And we played you the audio last week, because it's Monday right now. Get it together, Rob. We played you the audio last week of A.J. McCarron, the former University of Alabama quarterback. We talked to A.J. McCarron, we played you audio from A.J. McCarron, and A.J. McCarron said that he believes the scariest game on the schedule for Alabama this year is an October 25th trip to Willie B to visit the Gamecocks of South Carolina. He said that place is loud. That place is electric. And if the Gamecocks have early season success, and we've talked about it, that's where it's the momentum's got to get built in the year, because the second half gets tough. If there is early season success from the Gamecocks and the crowd is buzzing at that point, that could be danger. Then they're back home for LSU, back home for Oklahoma, back home for Eastern Illinois, and then on the road at Hugh Freeze and the Auburn Tigers. And as I mentioned, I think that is a team that is on, or I think Hugh Freeze is a coach who is on the hot seat entering this season. They are not happy with him down in Opelika, Alabama. And if that is the case, if that is the truth, he might be fighting for his job. That makes that a very scary game. Alabama has talent all over the field. They have got roster strengths all over the place. There are questions about quarterback, and that is very fair. There are questions about the switch in offensive philosophy from Nick Saban to Kalen DeBoer, and those are very fair. But I absolutely do believe that the Alabama Crimson Tide have 12-0 in them. I also believe they have 8-4 in them. If they go 8-4, there will be questions. I think anywhere in the middle is a possibility. I do think 10-2 is the most likely outcome, perhaps 9-3. 10-2, could that be enough to get you into the SEC title game? Outside shot, but yes. Anything less than that, no. And I think that is the target. Here's what we're due. Throughout the rest of the, well, I should say for the next hour and a half, as we get to Greg Sankey's State of the Conference address, which is scheduled for 9 a.m., I will work on making sure that we can at least check in for bits and pieces of that a little bit later on in the morning. We will continue to do an overall Southeastern Conference preview. In this 8 to 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk obviously quite a bit about the Gamecocks of South Carolina, as today is their day here at SEC Media Days, and then we'll get prepped for that Greg Sankey presser. Stay tuned, because it is going to be a busy, busy 4 days here at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. I am Rob Brown, the great Lonzo back in the network controls. Is it? When have I ever said network control center?
Yeah, we're not really a network. I mean, we kind of are.
I mean, we got two stations. I feel like that's enough to qualify as a network, you know?
Would you count the internet also a network? I mean,
that's three.
Yeah, there we go.
That's definitely a network. All right. The Odyssey app, that technically makes it four. All right, we're calling it a network. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back here in a minute. We'll run through your water cooler cheat sheet, top three stories you need to know on the way to work. We will spend the rest of the next hour looking through the rest of the SEC program, setting ceilings and floors for expectations. We'll take you up till 9 o'clock. We'll hear from Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC. All of that coming up after Lonzo gives you the best 60 seconds, maybe of the whole week, with this Sports Flash.
Yeah, probably. Matt Olson has replaced Ronald Acuna Jr. in tonight's All-Star Game Home Run Derby. Acuna was pulled from the Derby as a precaution to protect him from injury after back tightness caused him to miss one game last week. The Derby kicks off at Truist Field tonight at 8 o'clock. Yannick Sinner claimed the gentleman's final at Wimbledon, defeating Carlos Alcaraz 4-6, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. The pair played in the finals at Roland Garros 5 weeks ago, with Alcaraz claiming victory. It was Sinner's fourth consecutive major final, but the first at the All England Club for Wimbledon. Two games of 31-point performance was all the Mavericks wanted to see out of number one overall draft pick Cooper Flagg, as they announced yesterday they were shutting down the former Duke Blue Devil for the rest of the summer. That means he's ready to go for the NBA season.